Technology is an integral part of our business and personal lives, affecting virtually everything we do and experience in some form or fashion.
Information security.
As CPAs, it's never been more important to be ahead of the technology curve.
Privacy management.
That's why the AICPA established the Top Technology Initiatives list, highlighting emerging technologies that'll contribute to the accounting profession.
Assurance and compliance. Mobile and remote computing.
Here in Episode 8, we'll be continuing with Part 3 of our discussion on privacy. Privacy for CPAs in public practice.
CPAs can be instrumental in assisting big and small organizations through a wide range of value-added privacy advisory and assurance services. Joining me today are Ed Johnson and Ziggy Lazarov. Ed is a CPA and chair of the AICPA-CICA Privacy Task Force. He recently retired from Deloitte & Touche, where he was a partner in their enterprise risk services practice, and he has more than 40 years of experience in audit, control, and security matters. In addition to the Privacy Task Force, Ev has served on a number of AICPA committees and task forces. He has also testified before Congress on online consumer protection and privacy. Ziggy is a senior manager in Ernst & Young's Privacy Risk Advisory Services practice. Ziggy has over 14 years of experience with crisis management, data protection, and privacy. Ziggy also serves on the AICPA-CICA Privacy Task Force and is a member of the U.S. delegation for ISO that is developing privacy standards. He is a certified information privacy professional and a member of the Education Advisory Board of the International Association of Privacy Professionals. Welcome to you both. Ev, in the previous two podcasts in the series, we discussed legislation and technology as being the two prominent drivers of privacy awareness. Refresh our memory about some of the things that we've discussed to this point regarding the changing privacy landscape and the evolving attitudes towards privacy on both the part of consumers and organizations.
Well, thanks, Matt. I think the awareness of privacy and the importance of privacy has really grown quite dramatically in the past years, particularly with all the privacy breaches that you hear about. These continue to be on the rise, particularly over the last 3 years. And these breaches are expensive. One study conducted by the Poneman Institute showed that the cost of a breach is about $197 for each person's records breached in 2007. This doesn't include the intangible costs of loss of reputation and trust resulting from a breach. There's also some emerging legal trends. There's more litigation. The Federal Trade Commission has been fairly proactive in sanctioning organizations that have had privacy problems, and there is quite a bit of state legislation, and there's some conflicting state regulations, so companies that do business in many states have to be on their toes to stay on top of this. One of the big things that worries a lot of people about their information is this whole topic of identity theft. And it's not unusual, at least once a week, if not more, to see something in the news about someone who's had a problem with identity theft or a breach that has resulted in some identity theft. And, you know, just personal information has value, not only to identity thieves, but to marketers and other people who can use personal information for business purposes. The AICPA and CICA, the Canadian Institute of Chartered Accountants Task Force, Privacy Task Force, has developed a privacy framework called Generally Accepted Privacy Principles, or GAPP. And a number of other tools to help practitioners help their clients in this area. These items were covered in the last two podcasts. So if you haven't listened to these two podcasts, you may want to go back and take a listen to them and then come back to this podcast, because that'll give you some good background for what we're going to be talking about today.
So it sounds like there's a lot going on in the privacy and the marketplace with respect to privacy. What does this dynamic environment mean for CPAs? Why should CPAs care about privacy?
Well, Matt, I think that the most importantly, the reason CPAs should care about privacy is because their clients care about that topic. Privacy is a business risk, and beyond the issue of regulation, it depends on policy, on process, on controls, areas where CPAs are strong, CPAs have credibility and experience in. It's important to emphasize that privacy is not just about IT. Privacy is about the use of personal information across operations and across the organization. And if CPAs can leverage their existing areas of expertise by developing the experience and knowledge needed to be able to provide privacy services, they can help clients reduce privacy risk, protect the valuable information, which is a business asset for their clients, help preserve and maybe even enhance brand by demonstrating stronger privacy controls, preserve and enhance the organization's reputation, and even help encourage customer loyalty.
And why would CPAs offer privacy-related services? What makes them suited to provide them, and what gives them the market credibility?
I think CPAs are uniquely qualified to provide these kinds of services. If you think about what a CPA does, you know, they really have the skills to understand how information flows through a business. They really understand business systems. CPAs typically have a lot of experience assessing risk and controls. They're good at interpreting rules and regulations and applying them with a strong business focus. When you get involved in a privacy thing, there's also legal issues. And CPAs frequently team up with a lawyer or the client's in-house counsel when they're providing privacy service. There's quite a few CPA firms that have very significant practices dealing with privacy.
What kind of advisory services are these CPA firms offering?
Well, there's a variety of advisory services that could be offered, but I would stress that the most valuable service that CPAs can develop the skills for are providing privacy assessments, providing finding and recommendation type engagements for their clients to assess privacy controls and situation. When CPAs dedicate the time to develop those knowledge and expertise, and it takes a while to be able to develop that level of knowledge to be able to provide these services, they should start by providing high-level types of privacy assessments. We still do those in our practice regularly, coming into an organization, reviewing across the board what's being done with personal information, how it's being collected, and who's using it for different purposes, talking to marketing, talking to HR, talking to various other parts of the organization that support them, like IT, to understand what the information is going and how it's being used. As those skills are being built within the CPA organization, the service provider, one can start developing even more specialized assessments, taking a slice of the organization and delving in and providing much more detailed assessments and much more detailed recommendations for improvement. And that's the kind of knowledge that is not being built by just reading and listening to others discuss privacy, but just by doing it. So building it from the high-level assessment to the specialized assessment, the HR focus, for example, or the one business unit, the one product that needs to be reviewed in depth, and we see more and more demand for that in the marketplace as well. So if the skills are there and the knowledge of the client organization is there too, that those services would be able to be provided and provide the benefit to the client with them. Now, put aside assessments and the fact that they are still the bulk of the work CPAs can offer, there are additional service offerings, building privacy programs, supporting them through development of training materials, assessing the maturity of existing privacy programs and providing feedback to companies on how they can further take their privacy program to the next, developing training materials and administering training for employees of clients is certainly one of those other examples of advisory services that can be offered. And there is a long list of these types of services. The highest level of expertise that is required by a practitioner for a service that can be provided is an attestation, an examination, a privacy audit, if you will, that allows the CPAs to attest against assertions made by a client regarding their standing on certain privacy issues and their compliance with their own privacy notice. This is a much more complex type of service offering and not as broad and common, but certainly still there on that spectrum of services that is available for CPAs.
So as a CPA firm looking to get into privacy advisory services and looking to make that available to my clients, what knowledge, capability, and experience should I have in order to start offering those services?
Well, I guess one of the first elements that needs to be built within a CPA organization to be able to provide those services is understanding the regulations that impact privacy and impact clients in their different jurisdictions. Other than understanding privacy regulations, understanding what are the common contractual limitations that exist within the field of privacy and data protection, those that would need to be addressed by in an assessment or in building privacy program, how the organization is using information in the first place. And this is exactly where the knowledge that CPAs bring to the table, the familiarity that they have with the processes of their clients comes into play and supports them in providing those additional services such as privacy, understanding the principles of privacy management, and those are discussed in detail in the GAPI, but understanding those concepts and how they apply in different scenarios is a level of knowledge and expertise that is still required to be able to look at a situation, understand other requirements, and see how all those requirements can come together to be operationalized in a complex environment such as company. A good understanding of privacy risks in general, knowing what to be aware of, what to be able to mitigate against is important. I think that one cannot provide useful recommendations and useful feedback on the topic of privacy without understanding security, at least on the high level, to be able to provide that type of feedback. Security is a component of privacy, and one cannot distinguish the two from, one cannot disconnect the two from one another. And last but not least, the issue of incident and breaches, as mentioned before, still a prominent topic in many clients' minds, and CPAs should understand better what are the contingency plans that should be put in place to prepare for such an incident, and what are the appropriate steps to be taken once something that does happen.
Ev, how does a CPA firm attain the requisite knowledge and experience to be able to offer these services?
Well, I think there are a lot of ways to get some of this knowledge, and the CPAs already have some of the skills, as I mentioned, but they may need more subject matter knowledge in the topics that Sagi was addressing. But the first starting place, is the generally accepted privacy principles, or GAPP. I think that provides a really good summary of the privacy issues and the things that an organization should be doing to have an effective privacy program. The Institute of Internal Auditors has developed, as part of their GTAG series, their GTAG number 5 deals with privacy risk, and that's really written for someone who isn't involved in the privacy area, so it explains things fairly well as well. There are a lot of sessions at conferences, such as those offered by ASACA and the Institute of Internal Auditors. The AICPA and CICA have a lot of resources beyond GAPP that are available on their website. There's an organization which is relatively young, and I think it shows the growth in this profession, called the International Association for Privacy Professionals. They hold two large conferences every year, and there's a free quarterly event called KnowledgeNet that is held in something like 30 cities around the world, where over a breakfast or a lunch, current privacy topics are discussed by local privacy professionals. And the IAPP also has a daily email newsletter called the Daily Dashboard, which highlights some of the privacy articles in various newspapers and publications around the world. and it's a good way to keep up with some of the developments in the privacy area. It's a free newsletter. I get that every day. There's also good resources on the topic through some of the privacy advocacy organizations, such as the Center for Democracy and Technology, and some of the others. Or you can go to their websites. The Center for Democracy and Technology is cdt.org. The Federal Trade Commission has privacy resources on their website, as do some of the other federal agencies and even state agencies. For example, if you do business overseas, particularly in Europe, the Commerce Department of Commerce website has excellent resources on the Safe Harbor Program, which is a way to comply with the requirements of the EU dealing with privacy. One of the things that Sagi mentioned was, you know, how do you respond to a privacy incident? The AICPA on their website has an example of an incident response plan, which would give you a lot of good ideas how to help your client with this sort of thing. But I think the important thing is, and Sagi's mentioned this a couple of times, just really starting to get some experience. Read what you can, start talking to your clients, ask good questions, maybe do some sort of assessment of the client's situation using GAPP, and you'll learn very quickly a lot about privacy.
Sagi, it seems like privacy provides an opportunity for CPAs to add some value to their existing services. How do privacy advisory services align with the existing CPA firm offerings?
Well, many CPA firms already offer risk-related services, whether it's risk management in general or IT advisory, security, things of that nature. And privacy can be a very natural fit within those line of services that are being offered. Also, it's important to think of the various skills within a firm and understand how those may relate to the specific needs, current needs, from a privacy management perspective of clients. For example, some firms have seen a decline in recent period in workaround Sarbanes-Oxley compliance. However, the skills that those CPAs have developed to do that kind of work in the past years, the ability to map processes, identify and assess controls, can be highly suited for some of the privacy assessment work that we were talking about earlier on. And those resources can be retooled to provide those services with the right investment in the resources and time that is needed to be able to build the basic level of knowledge around privacy issues and privacy risk.
Yeah, Sagi mentioned before that privacy audits were a service line that CPAs get involved in. I wasn't aware that there was such thing as a privacy audit.
Yes, I think that's one of the objectives that we had when we designed GAPP. The criteria are in GAPP, there's 66 criteria organized under 10 principles, and they're designed to be suitable criteria for an attestation engagement, which would allow the CPA to conduct a so-called privacy audit, or what we would call an examination level engagement, and issue a public report. The AICPA's and the CICA's standards, provide the ability to do this. But I should caution that the CPA would need a lot of experience and knowledge with privacy, security, and a number of related issues to conduct one of these engagements. If a client's talking about a privacy audit, I think the best thing to do is to really talk to them about their readiness for an audit. A client needs a very effective privacy program in order to pass an audit and get a clean opinion. And many organizations who are doing a pretty good job with privacy are a long way from that goal today. But a CPA can use GAPP to evaluate a client's readiness, by looking at what the client's doing and mapping that against the 66 criteria. And there will be obviously some shortfalls in many clients, and those will need to be addressed before the client moves forward. The Privacy Task Force is developing a new tool, which is referred to as a maturity model assessment tool, which gives a little bit more of a qualitative assessment of how well the client is implementing its privacy program based on its level of maturity. Also, you don't have to do this for the whole business. You can do a slice of the business. So you could take one product line, or very often where this is a concern is the online business. And the ICPA has had and the CICA have had the WebTrust online privacy program, where you can undergo an audit of the online information and the entity's compliance with their privacy notice that's on their website. And if you pass, you get not only an opinion, but you get a seal you can put on your site or your client's website. And that program has been around for some time. But again, I do want to emphasize this is an area that requires a lot of privacy experience. You need to do a very good job of assessing the risk before you get into something like this.
Sagi, we talked about the bountiful opportunities that privacy advisory services offer CPAs, and I wonder, what's in it for the business? Why would a business benefit from privacy advisory service, and why would they want to procure a CPA for those purposes?
Well, I guess we should talk about the risks and emphasize some more what are businesses facing if the personal information they hold is not protected for privacy. And my comment here is specifically about the type of assessments that one would provide a company with, and some of the advisory building blocks of developing stronger privacy programs, not so much on the attestation side, which serves a completely different purpose. The issue of misuse of customer information can result in damage to an organization's reputation, its brand, and its business relationships with other stakeholders and especially with other companies. Charges of deceptive business practices, customer or employee distrust, issues of reduced revenue, market share, and shareholder value, even refusal by customers after a breach has become known to consent to the use of their personal information for future purposes. So, and on top of all of that, there are issues of legal liability and as well as specific sanctions that can be administered on an organization by industry bodies or by regulators directly. Especially today, in today's business environment, we can't forget about the use of vendors and the reliance many companies have on third parties that provide services to them. And often, a CPA would be requested to assess privacy for an organization, but not to assess their own practices as much as to assess their vendors' practices, to provide their clients with some idea of how those other third parties, those vendors that receive personal information from them for different purposes, how those third parties actually protect the information, how do they follow privacy requirements and contractual obligations that they have committed to contractually when the relationship had started. The issue of outsourcing is just a theme that runs across many of the risks we discussed today in the privacy world, from the way information is being collected to the handling of a breach and the responses to it. We always have to ask about not just about the client directly, the organization directly, but also those other organizations that may be serving them in that process.
Have you had some experience managing an enterprise risk services practice with Deloitte & Touche? And I wonder, as a CPA looking at my existing client list, which kind of organizations seem like the best candidates for privacy risk services? Who might I approach first?
Well, I would say first candidate would be any organization that has a large database of personal information, whether it's their customers or employees or other types of personal information. And you know, examples would be a financial institution, a healthcare organization, anybody that does business in multiple jurisdictions, particularly internationally. The privacy regulations in many countries are much stricter than they are in the United States. And for example, Europe has some very strict privacy rules, and so those would be candidates as well. Anybody that's implementing a privacy program or has a privacy program and may want a fresh look at that privacy program. And I would say anybody that's had a privacy incident is a prime candidate for these kinds of services. Sagi mentioned the third parties that process information for others. So if you have a business where you process customer information for banks or financial institutions, there's a prime candidate, because not only are those customers going to be concerned, but the banks and financial institutions who use that company's services are going to have a concern. And there's a lot of new technologies that have privacy implications. One example is these new RFID tags that allow things to be identified as they move from place to place. These are all, I think, indicators of a client that might value some privacy services.
And within the companies, within these organizations, who is the best person to approach?
Well, I guess the most obvious ones, if such positions exist, will be privacy officers. That's a growing class of executives in many organizations, people that are assigned the responsibility to manage privacy for their companies. In some companies, there is not necessarily one person that owns privacy, so to speak, but it's a committee, a privacy committee that is being put together with different internal stakeholders from different parts of the organization, and an initial discussion certainly can be with one of those bodies, whether it's that committee or that privacy officer. I would add, though, that whether such positions exist or not, there are others within companies, within organizations that CPAs can talk to about privacy. We've done quite a lot of work with internal audit, with compliance officers, serving even risk officers, and they were interested to understand better how their organization is operating as it relates to privacy, whether they had a privacy position in place or not is beside the point. Other positions within organizations that have a strong interest in privacy and could be in a position of contracting with CPAs to provide that service could include some of the support functions, so to speak, IT, for example, because they hold, they have access to so much of the electronic personal information that companies have, could be one such buyer. Legal counsel is another example. There could be some specific operations within organizations, those that actually hold the information, that could become the client asking for the service. We spoke before about how HR has a lot of sensitive personal information, and especially if a company operates in multiple jurisdictions where different regulations apply to their employee personal information, those companies may need help in figuring those requirements out and operationalizing them. Depending on the type of activities companies take, it could be a different business unit or a different service line that would need that. Marketing is another obvious example, especially when it relies on personal information for promoting services, but other product-specific or activity-specific business unit, whether it's a unique product being sold by a technology company, or whether it's the claims department for a health insurer, depending on the industry, depending on your client needs, specific stakeholders within the organization could be in need of such services.
So, Guy, I'm going to add one more to the list of candidates. You know, if you've got a client that hasn't clearly defined who's responsible for privacy, they don't have one individual or some way of clearly defining who's responsible for privacy, chances are they need some help, and that may be a little harder to figure out who to contact in that organization, but Guy, you've certainly given some really good examples.
And this will be a good opportunity for one of those high-level initial privacy assessments where a CPA would do a review across the business units to assess where the risks are, and that kind of input could help the organization make some decisions about accountability and responsibility.
We talked a lot about the current environment, and I wonder, what's the long view? What kind of current trends are you seeing related to privacy services in the marketplace?
Well, I'll start here, and Guy, you'll probably want to add some things, but you know, with all the attention privacy has been getting, a lot of organizations have been implementing privacy programs, and some of them are getting to the point where they want to know, how am I doing? How effective is my privacy program? And you know, as I mentioned, a full scope privacy audit can be expensive. And there are many companies that wouldn't get a clean opinion yet. So these audits have not been all that widespread. There have been a handful or more that have been conducted and published, and there's some regulators that are starting to require organizations that have had privacy incidents to undergo privacy audits of one type or another. Providing some of these other assessments, just looking at how an organization is doing versus GAP-P or in other measures, using like the maturity model assessment or other things like that, I think those services are often well received by an organization. You can provide a nice report with graphics and everything to management, and give them a pretty good snapshot of how well their privacy program is functioning.
Yeah, I would add to that from an assessment perspective, from just whether it's specific or broad, but on the assessment, finding and recommendation type service, internal audit has been have shown a growing interest and has been very receptive to input from outside CPA firms to provide that type of service and input to their organization. From an advisory perspective, I think that the main areas where we've seen trends and growth in interest from clients has to do, in one way or another, with mitigating the risk of a privacy breach. So companies would want to understand better how to limit or how to mitigate the risk within their organization that could lead to the loss of information and could lead to the breach. So understanding better how specific controls can be applied that would be unique or that will be specifically addressing gaps that exist today in their environment. And also how to best address the breach in the first place. So building and improving existing approaches the organization take to dealing with the breach and providing the right planning for it is yet another advisory type service that, as Ev mentioned earlier, the ACP has actually developed materials for practitioners, and it's available on the website to provide guidance to.
Just a reminder that web address is www.aicpa.org/privacy. There is a lot of resources there for CPAs in private practice as well as those in industry. So there's a growing number of CPAs offering privacy advisory services, and with a little planning, training, and expertise, these services can provide additional value to firm clients. I just want to remind everybody that in 2 weeks we're going to be presenting part 4, the final episode of this 4-part podcast on privacy. Guy will be joining us again along with Ken Askelson, and we'll be discussing what CPAs in industry are doing within their organizations with respect to privacy. Evan, Guy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Top Technology Initiatives podcast. Be sure to join us next time on episode 9, where we'll finish up our privacy discussion with part 4, Privacy for CPAs in Business and Industry. And if you're looking for more information on the top technology initiatives, go to www.aicpa.org/top tech. That's aicpa.org/TOPTECH. Or if you have any questions for us, email us at toptech@aicpa.org. This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA is not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA makes no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assumes no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and expressly disclaims all liability for such damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.